Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates. Brian's going to talk to us today about debt, and all of us are thinking about all those presents we just brought. You know, going shopping is an amazing thing. There are so many people, Brian. I know most of us use more on our charge cards than we should. And, you know, we're not on everybody's case today, but we're going to talk a little bit. Brian, of course, is a independent registered investment advisor. He's a financial planner with John Moore and Associates. Of course, they sponsor programming here on ABQ Connect, and we're so glad to have you, Brian. You always give us a lot of great input, and so welcome. Yeah. And your children had a great time at Christmas, I'm assuming.
Yep, great Christmas as always, and got a little of our own debt we've got to clean up here as we go into January, but nothing too onerous, thankfully.
Well, hey, before we start, I want to remind everybody that people like us, Brian, are always looking for things fun to do with their families. Mm-hmm. And I want to let everybody know that Chabad of New Mexico, which is the Jewish community here in New Mexico, and a Christian ministry called Yad B'Yad, we've had Susie and John Sondogger on the program. They run that ministry. They're inviting all of us out to Balloon Fiesta Park Sunday afternoon, December 29th. So that's this coming Sunday. And it's going to be a really fun time. Chabad of New Mexico, if you're ever interested in Jewish culture and Jewish worship and Hanukkah, they're inviting everybody out to the world's only menorah made of hot air balloons. And it's going to be a fun time. They're going to have food. They're going to have the Rogers Park Band, billed as the America's only Hasidic folk band. And so it sounds like a really great afternoon and a great time to take your kids out. And it will be beautiful, and it'll be a great time to find out a little bit about our Jewish community in New Mexico. So a free event. That's a lot of fun. So that's why I wanted to mention it to you. Brian, we're talking about debt. And many of us don't want to be reminded necessarily because we haven't got that credit card bill, which will be swinging in here about a week or two. Before we start, I want you to tell us, you've always, and I've kind of made you do this because I thought it was so cool, remind us of the couple of budgeting guidelines that you give us each time you come in regard to buying a car and buying a home.
Yep, and that's a great segue into the debt conversation because we often buy cars and homes with the use of debt, right? So one of the reasons we have these principles and these rules of thumb, if you will, is that they help keep us from overextending ourselves with high debt. So the rule of thumb for buying a house is look at your annual income. You're looking at about 2.5 times your annual income as a good goal for house price. And for a car, you're looking at maybe 3, maybe 4 months tops of your income. So if you're making $10,000 a month, you're looking at a $30,000 to $40,000 car, not a $80,000 to $90,000 car that you might be able to qualify for.
And that's the hard part. And I've mentioned this many times. I'm a retired lender. I did primarily real estate lending in my career over 30 plus years. And I can just tell you that you can always qualify, even with not great credit. Sometimes it's worse because when you don't have perfect credit, the rates are so much higher, the interest rates. But you can almost always qualify for more than you can afford. And if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, what they've done now with all these cars, these vehicles that are $60,000 to $80,000, mm-hmm. they've extended them from 36 and 48 months payments to 60 months, 72 months. And when you think about buying a depreciating item that you're financing for 5 or 6 years, it's probably not worth a lot, and you still owe a lot of money of it in several years.
Exactly. You're paying very little on your principal payments those first couple of years. And there's actually 84-month loans now you see out there for car loans. And in preparation for today, I was doing some research. I knew the average duration or the average term of car loans had gone up, but it's actually now 68 months is the average nationwide.
So over 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do keep their cars longer than that, and that's great. But right. there's also many people who will trade that car in, often with negative equity. So sometimes what they're doing is they're actually financing your last car's debt into the new car and creating negative equity loans that are really hard to get out of. So you think of cars being such a big cost in our normal, you know, day-to-day living expenses. We're only making that worse by buying these high-expense vehicles and then only paying minimal principal payments over very long periods. It's a bit of a a troublesome philosophy right now. And what I worry about as an advisor is I see people sometimes coming in, and while we have several clients we serve who are very debt averse, and they always want their car to be paid off. I met with a couple today who's in their 30s, and they will buy their next car with cash. It's wonderful to see. I also see many people who seem very content just always living with a car payment. It's just part of their normal cost of living, and they'll never be free of auto debt.
Well, Brian, you've got a couple biblical principles. You really are trying to teach people how to build equity and have their assets appreciate and have savings at many levels, an emergency fund, a retirement fund, money that would be available for investing. And the most important thing, really, is money that people give and they invest in the kingdom. So give us some of the – I know you've got a number of scriptures and things that you want to refer to today. Give us a little background on whose money is this. Let's start there.
Well, that's always important. That's the foundation for all financial decision makings. It's the stewardship conversation that often gets twisted into just giving, but really all money belongs to God, not just the 10% that you might give or more or less, but all money belongs to God. So every financial decision is a spiritual one, whether it's a debt conversation like we're having today, an investment conversation, or a decision around college financing. All these things that are out there that we're deciding on day to day, they're all truly spiritual decisions because they're all God's resources that we're putting to work.
And share with us, if you would, a couple things that you've put down here about debt and what the Word has to say about that.
Sure. So some people believe that the spiritual vision on debt, God's view on debt, is to never have debt. And I don't think that's quite supported in Scripture. There are certainly warnings about debt and very important lessons about debt in Scripture that we should pay close attention to. And I think, like so many things in Scripture, it's a good formula for human thriving, you know, that we treat debt properly. One of my favorite verses, one of the most common you'll see, is Romans 13:8 that says, "Let no debt remain outstanding." So what's key there? Let no debt remain outstanding. If you go back to the old King James Version, what you'll find is it says, "Owe no man anything," which makes it sound like you shouldn't have any debt. But really the rule is don't leave anything outstanding. Pay back your debts. So we're being called not to be free of debt at all times, but make sure any debts we take on that we pay back. And that makes sense. If you look at our culture, if people aren't paying back their debts, the whole system breaks down. As we saw in the financial crisis, where we were seeing almost 3 million homes being foreclosed per year at the depth of that crisis. And that's just not a good thing. And Psalm 37:21 says the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. So again, there's a reference. It's not the wicked borrow and don't repay. So if I borrow from you, Jim, and I say, "Hey, can you pay for lunch today? I forgot my wallet." God calls me to repay that debt, right? It's not bad that I borrowed the money. It's not bad that you borrow the money for a car or a home, but you better repay it.
And a lot of times, people are not only putting themselves in a difficult position, but they're putting other family members in in difficult situations when they borrow irresponsibly.
Sure. And we see a lot of young people now who are still co-signing debts with their family members, with parents and grandparents, even when these young people are in their 20s and 30s. And then their financial decisions are now having implications on family members. And then you can really see the negative impact if they don't repay. But there's always a societal impact when we basically file for bankruptcy or don't pay a debt for whatever reason. And it's something that God speaks to very clearly.
Brian, how do you feel about student loans and that type of thing?
Yeah, I think any debt you look at, you want to see what's the purpose. Why am I buying this thing that I don't have money for today? So you can make a good case that investing in education or using debt to pay for education is justified. I think a lot of people have become complacent with student debt, where people are very content to take $50,000, $100,000 of student loans. You know, the average is you know, getting pretty high nowadays with student loans, a little bit concerning. About $30,000 per graduate average, and you see a lot of medical people going out with $200,000 of student debt. So those numbers are concerning. I think what a lot of people are starting to see now is they see friends, family members who've gone through that experience, and now they're looking for alternatives, and people are being smarter about not attending expensive colleges that are outside their affordability, and they're looking at alternatives more wisely. And we're also starting to see a little bit more politically some pressure around the cost of tuition.
Brian Cochran with John Moore & Associates. He is a certified financial planner and an independent registered investment advisor. John Moore and Associates is located here in Albuquerque at 6301 Indian School Road Northeast, and you can reach their office by calling 505-881-5289. Brian Cochran, more about debt and how to get crawl out of that stuff and fill up the hole. More after these messages. Stay with us.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is Jim Williams, and I think KNKT is a special broadcast channel. It is live, it is local, and it's all about New Mexico. But KNKT also gives you a solid look at mega global issues from a Christian worldview. That is why I want you to know about ABQ Connect 2.0. We'll be talking big issues that have local impact. This is going to be fun and informative. Join us. KNKT loves New Mexico, and so do I. Keep up at knkt.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and at one time or another, we've all given the good news of Christ to someone, or have we? Exactly what is the good news that Jesus preached? What did he think the good news meant? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, Jesus preaches the good news, and the very first thing we hear him say is, "Repent and believe." In the Gospels, whenever someone presents the good news, it is first and foremost about repentance. So, if we were to sum up where to start sharing the good news, it is repent, turn away from your sin, stop disobeying God, get clean, and let Jesus help you do it. Today, friend, do what I do nearly every morning when I wake up. I preach the gospel to myself. I ask the Holy Spirit to show me some sin in my heart from which I need to repent. Because I want to change, and I think you do too. And it starts with repentance.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran in studio with us this afternoon. Thank you for being with us on ABQ Connect. Brian, when we talk about debt, you talk about it being always a heart issue. And give us an illustration, if you would, about why you believe that.
Yeah, I'd say with the exception of maybe medical debt, where it's something you have to pay for, which and it can be a big burden for a lot of families. Most debts are consumer-related, and they are heart issues, not numbers issues, if you will. So a couple examples that I've had in my experience working with families over the years. We see people who spoil their children, their adult children often, and they're taking on debts to maybe send that kid, we talked about college a minute ago, sending that kid to a university they really can't afford because they just think it's that important. Maybe it's a prestige thing. So if your kid has to go to Yale for his schooling, even though you can't really afford it and you have to take on debt that's going to create a big pinch for you financially, that's an emotional issue. You know, that's your own insecurity about, I've got to get an Ivy League education for my son, even though he could go to UNM and maybe get a similar education or a qualified education, go out into the workforce with that much cheaper degree. You think about keeping up with the Joneses, you know, the traditional thought of, hey, my neighbor has a nice new luxury imported vehicle, so I need to go get that. Even if I can't afford it, I'll take 72 or 84 months of payments. So that's a hard issue about, I feel insecure about my status in my neighborhood. That's a hard issue. So there's a lot of things like that we see. One of the examples I saw about a year ago, really sweet couple, hardworking, honest couple, seemed to always be on the same page financially. And then one day I get a call that the husband found out that the wife had charged up over $30,000 of credit card debt without his knowledge.
Wow.
Now that's a hard issue, I think, now. Now it's a major issue in their relationship, and it's created a lot of tough conversations. But, you know, as we talked about it, the husband and I talked about it and how he wanted to approach this with his wife and how it impacted their plan. And we ended up having a good conversation between the three of us. But, what he really felt was that his wife is a beautiful woman, always had been very attractive. That was a big part of her identity. And as she was getting older, she was spending more and more money on luxury clothes. Mm. So she was filling a hole that she felt she wasn't as beautiful as she was before. So I think she was spending a lot of money on clothing. And so you look at these issues and it's like, yeah, the numbers don't make sense. You shouldn't be spending that much on clothes. And we can be very direct with that. But if we don't address the heart issue behind it, the debt problem's not solved. Maybe we pay off that credit card, but it's going to come back.
And when you say a heart issue, it's not necessarily just a sin issue or selfishness. It's her self-image, as she got older, was injured, if you will, that yep. She was feeling less and less confident. So there may be some other things that her family, husband, children need to do to encourage their mom, their wife. And these are all, these things all fit together. And you mentioned, you use the word plan. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. You help people come up with a plan. So you have to be intentional. I know I've got a nutritionist, Jennifer Bryant, that comes in very frequently, as you do, and she talks to us about nutrition. And she says you have to eat food intentionally. You can't just sit down in front of the TV and have a bowl of this or that, you know. You know, a bowl of M&Ms, that's not eating intentionally.
Don't tell me this, Jim.
But the point is that it sounds like it's the same thing. When you're talking about your Christmas budget, when you're talking about, you know, Valentine's Day coming up, when you are seeing all these advertisements about how you can get a tax credit if you go buy that brand new truck of a certain weight and power, you can write that off as a business expense, and here's that 3% financing or that 0% financing. Yep. There's all kinds of things that are thrown out there, but if you have a plan in place, seems like it'd be a lot easier to say no.
Yep, and we use that word intentional all the time. I'm glad you use that language because a lot of times with debt, it's as simple as slowing down and making intentional decisions because we can get caught up and emotional about purchasing things, and certainly Christmas is one of those times of year that happens across the board, and you see people spending out of control, and they regret it later because they're in the emotional whirlwind of, hey, this is on sale, so that makes it cheaper, that makes it a good deal, I have to have it, or I really want to, you know, make a good impression on so-and-so, so I'm going to buy him a gift. Going back to those hard issues, whereas if you slow down, you say, okay, how should I be using my money? What's the best way? You know, it's God's resources. I have goals that hopefully reflect, you know, my spiritual realities and my values. Do these expenses, do these debts I'm taking on really satisfy those goals? And then here's the thing about debt is you're going to be paying that down the line. So will I regret this 6 months, 12 months, 5 years, 10 years down the line if I'm still making payments on this purchase? And people aren't always thinking of it that way. We have trouble seeing ourselves down the line and having that regret. It's a big problem we have. And especially in our culture now that so everything's immediate satisfaction, we're not as intentional about our food decisions. I'm not intentional about sometimes the way we say things. You look at what people will say on Twitter or Facebook versus what we say in a good conversation when we slow down and we're intentional about what we say. And then certainly with finances, we see that where people get out of control and they lack that intentional decision making that says, I'm buying this for this specific reason. It fits in my plan.
Well, I can tell you personally, I've had times in my life where I had to go buy the fancy car, had $800 a month, $1,000 a month payments on a vehicle. Absolutely ridiculous decision. Those cars are depreciating, you know, 20 to 30% the day you drive it off the lot. Not 10,000 miles later.
Yeah.
The day you drive it off the lot, you're losing 20, 30% of your value.
Yeah.
Had a friend of mine that bought an RV, and I'm not on anybody's case about an RV, but what people don't realize is that, you know, I think most people buy RVs because they want to travel around the country.
Sure.
They want to have some fun in the fellowship and all that. It's all a great idea. But what they don't realize is that when you pull into a KOA, you're paying almost as much as you would for a hotel room, renting that space at the KOA. And then when you come home, you have to buy a storage space and then the maintenance on these things. And when you start looking at what an RV's worth after you're losing 30, 40% of your value the day you drive it off the lot. I've tried very hard to tell people, look, this is going to be with your payments and everything. This is going to be a $12,000 to $16,000 deal.
Yep.
You can buy some really nice hotel rooms.
Yep.
For that much money and save $10,000.
Yep. And that's a good example. Like you said, we're not trying to pick on anybody with a specific purchase, but what we would want to do with a client there is say, okay, you're considering an RV purchase. Hopefully they're not coming to us asking for forgiveness rather than permission. Hopefully our conversations. Right. You know, predetermined, you know, we're going to decide ahead of time how we use this. So we might say, okay, you know, Mr. Financial Advisor, I'm looking at buying an RV. Here's my consideration is, okay, there's going to be payments for that. You can't afford the cash, right? Correct. Okay. So we're going to look at a loan. We're going to look at a debt conversation. What I start to think about is what will we not be able to do for the next 5, 7, 10, 15 years while you're paying that off because you have that debt. So yes, you will be able to go maybe take your children or grandchildren camping. That's great. But what will you not be able to do? Will you not be able to give as generously? Will you not be able to save for other future expenses? Will you not be able to go on other kinds of trips because all your money is getting sunk into this RV? So now I can't go on a quick flight to Hawaii to go to celebrate my niece's wedding. I'm just throwing examples out there. So what are the trade-offs that you're putting yourself into with this purchase? And if you slow down, again, you're intentional and you start to say, okay, I definitely want to go on trips in RVs, but I don't think I like the trade-offs. Then we can go back to a values conversation and then prioritize what's more important, that RV or otherwise. And then you can look at alternatives. You know, we have a lot of clients look at second homes. After a long conversation, we decide, you know, maybe just doing Airbnbs and traveling around is just as good, and we don't have all the financial overheads. Or they actually have that kind of service for RVs now where you can rent someone else's RV for a week, which is a heck of a lot cheaper than taking on the depreciation and the storage and the expense and the insurance and all the things that come with it. So once you slow down, and as you said before, you're intentional about that decision, you start to discover alternatives, and maybe that avoids some regret down the line.
Yes. Well, and there's a big difference between spending $1,000 a month on a car payment and spending maybe $400 for maybe even the same model of car, but maybe 3 years older, and saving $700 a month. Instead of that going out, huge difference after 4 or 5 years in what you have left. So Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates in studio. And earlier, I made a mistake and gave you the wrong number. I gave their fax number. So if you called it, you probably got faxed in the ear. John Moore and Associates in Albuquerque is located at 6301 Indian School Road Northeast. Their telephone number is 881-5100. Brian Cochran will be back here on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
I'm Sarah Crutchfield, owner of High Desert Hospice. After 32 years in healthcare, I know how important high-quality care is for those facing end-of-life. Whether as a patient or a family member, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of corporate company trying to provide hospice care. Corporate policies often prevent services patients and their families need. That's why I founded High Desert Hospice, to provide the loving care we'd give to our own family. Let our family take care of yours. HighDesertHospice.care.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates Investment Advisors. They are a registered investment advisor company, and Brian Cochran is a licensed financial planner. Brian, after your name, you got CFP and CKA. What do those mean?
So CFP is pretty widely recognized, Certified Financial Planner. There's over 70,000, might be 80,000 now, certified financial planners around the country. And that really reflects competency in some of the key areas of finance, like insurance and retirement planning and investment management, tax, estate planning, so forth. The CKA is a newer designation, a little more unique. It's Certified Kingdom Advisor, and that's really a reflection of the training that I've received in the application of biblical principles in financial decision making. And that's really a fun training, a great group that we're part of.
Well, John Moore and Associates, your company, sponsors programming, MoneyWise, that's heard about an hour before our program. And, you know, tremendous, you know, Rob West is, given great advice about all the things that we're talking about right now. And they have people all around the country email them questions and different things that they're faced with. And I think we're going to get to that point here pretty soon. I have not opened up the phones or any of those things because we kind of wanted to spend this holiday season talking a little bit about principles and things that we can do. But I think in the coming year, and we're looking forward to having you on the program pretty regularly, we're going to start taking calls and answering questions. Brian, you want to get a hold of people pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And there are people like myself. I'm one of those people. I made a decision to get my kids involved in a Christian university outside of New Mexico. That was obviously a little bit more expensive. My daughter, who did go to UNM, went on the lottery scholarship. She's out of school, working great, doesn't have any debt at all. My other kids, they have a little student loan debt. But my personal feeling was that they were able, because of where they went to school, to get jobs that I didn't think would be available in New Mexico. And so far, that's actually played out to be true. So the repayment plan and all of those things, I will be able to tell you here in another couple years whether that was all worth it. But that's at least the shot that we took. On the other hand, it was very simple for my second child. She's completed both an undergraduate degree and a master's, and as far as I know, has no debt. So that is a much, much more sure. simple kind of scenario. I have talked with many people about the economy in New Mexico. And I, like you, am very concerned about the economy in New Mexico. I think New Mexico is an amazing place. I'd like us to have more industry and more jobs and things that are happening. But things that we know for a fact right now is that we are at the top of every bad list and at the bottom of every good list, economically, educationally, crime-related kinds of issues. And, you know, I don't want to be negative, but I really want our state to start thriving. So there are a number of people, great politicians in office that are working and doing all they can. We have private citizens, business people, doing everything they can do to address crime, address education. And these are not simple answers. So when we come back to debt, most of us don't want to cut back, Brian, and probably didn't this Christmas.
Yep.
How do you handle, say, $1,000 that you went and spent on a credit card this past Christmas?
Well, the priority is to get it paid off. So you maybe failed on the front end by not budgeting your Christmas expenses, or maybe something else came up during the holiday season that took you outside of your ability to pay things cash. We're not against using credit cards. We just want to see them paid off. Some people say cut them all up and don't have them available at all. If you have a history of being irresponsible with credit cards, maybe that's the only solution. But what we worry about is this cycle that we see with especially families with children, where you maybe stretch yourself too far at Christmas, buying for your family and other people, so you go overboard, and then you have credit card debt that carries, and you spend the first 6 months of the year paying that off. So you're paying for last Christmas all throughout the first half of this year, and that might crimp your ability to save and give and do other things. Well, then you get to the summer, and now it's summer vacation time. You didn't have a chance to save for that because you're paying off Christmas. So now you fall in the cycle, and now you're putting the summer vacation on the credit card. Maybe you're buying flights or buying admission into Disneyland or whatever it might be for your family. And now you're building up your credit card again. You get a couple months to pay that off. Now back to school comes. And, you know, I've got two boys that are growing like weeds, and, you know, they need new shoes, it seems like, every other week, and
yes.
new pants every day. And so you spend a lot on back to school. And so you've gone back in, and then before you know it, guess what? We're right back to Christmas again. So there's this cycle we see people run through. And I think a couple solutions to that. One is to simply budget better. You know, I know it's easy to say, hard to do, but just be more intentional about how much you're spending on these different events. And then as much as you possibly can, finding ways to save toward these specific goals. So if you know you spend a certain amount on Christmas every year, rather than building it all up on a credit card and spending it all on debt, you know, plan ahead for that as best you can. Some people I've seen do this through, they'll do garage sales or make a little extra money on the side, a little side hustle, we call it, where you do a little side job. You know, maybe you're driving for Uber, or I've seen kids washing windows and doing things like that, mowing lawns. There's the traditional one where everyone's kind of, you know, building up extra income and fixing that side of the equation and saving that with a specific expense in mind. helps keep you from getting into that stress of credit card debt, helps you avoid paying the interest on the credit card. But at some point, you've got to step inside that cycle and break it and save for one of those expenses rather than charge for it. Once you can get out of that cycle, we see a lot of families are quite successful. They don't want to go back to it, so they're more diligent. Other people, it's a constant battle of falling back into debt. But if you're in that cycle, I just encourage you to be aware of it. And this, if you're in a couple, if you're in a relationship, a husband and wife, it's a great time for unity and saying, hey, let's get on the same page with this. What's our priority? You know, do we really need to be spending this much on Christmas? I'm blown away. We're generous with our kids at Christmas, but we don't spoil them crazy. It's amazing to me how much some people are spending every Christmas on gifts that won't mean anything in a year while putting themselves into 12 months of stress as a result.
Well, let's talk about an $800 a month car payment.
Sure.
Over 5 years, that's going to be $48,000. That's a lot of money. And what people don't understand is that, you know, a great deal of that is interest.
Sure.
So what if you cut down the principal and interest payment, buy a 2 or 3 year old car, and you have a $500 payment, and you spend $300 or $400 a month going into a savings account? What do you have at the end of 5 years?
Yeah, that's one of the key things we look at is if you can save toward things and earn the interest as you're growing your money to buy that thing rather than paying the interest on the back end and giving the bank that money. And so that's one alternative we look at is buying used cars. A lot of people get enticed by these 0 and 1 or 2% interest rates offered by the dealerships. But one of the things you got to keep in mind is even if you're not paying the interest, you're still obligated to make that monthly payment for 60 or 72 months. And again, looking at the trade-offs, what are you not able to do because you're tied to that payment? And you might say, well, I can always sell the car. Yeah, you can sell the car, but as you mentioned before, how much are you going to get for it? How long is it going to take for you to actually have some good positive
And you may
equity?
Be upside down in the car.
Exactly. So you're restricting future options. And we don't want to be that presumptuous. The future's always uncertain. So we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we have car payments, big mortgage, RV payment, you know, we see timeshare payments. You see all these things. You start stacking them all up, and you're really assuming that you're going to have good income this whole time, and you'll have the ability to make these payments. And that's one thing that gets people into trouble is we're in a good economic period right now. Everybody, basically, if you want a job and you're willing to work, you can go get a job. People's wages are rising. And I worry about periods like this where people get a little euphoric, and they start to spend too much, and some of that spills over into debt. And we end up putting ourselves in a tight spot. And maybe 3 years from now, the economic opportunities aren't the same. And now you've made obligations that you cannot fulfill. So that's what we worry about is instead of doing that, use these periods to build up your reserves, to get out of the debt cycle that we talked about between Christmas and vacations and back to school. Get out of those cycles now and use this period not to expand your lifestyle, but keep your maintain your current lifestyle and use any new raises, new job opportunities, and promotions to build up a nest egg so you can buy that next car cash. So you can pay for that next vacation cash rather than being in this constant cycle of debt.
You know, I spent a long time working with GE Capital. And one of the things that we did is we used to finance specialists in medicine, medical mm-hmm. specialists. So we would find somebody that was an endocrinologist, or we would find somebody that was an orthopedic. And I always remember looking at the financials, and these people are making an incredible amount of gross
sure.
revenue. You know, they're making $2-3 million a year bringing that into their office. But after you look at the overhead that they had, and one of the items that I would always see is student loans being paid back.
Yep.
A lot of these guys were, and women were coming up with saying, you know, gross income to themselves personally of $200,000+, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every time, without exception, I would look at what did they have left at the, what kind of savings did they have? And very little.
Yep.
Most everybody that makes $200,000 spends $200,000.
Yep.
They raise their level of income each time they do better. So more with Brian Cochran. This is a tough situation. This is not an easy thing to do. We don't want in any way minimize it. But it will save you a lot of headaches if you establish. I know with my 5 children, I believe all of them are in a savings pattern. You know, they're trying to, I call, pay themselves 10 to 20%. I think they're all giving to the Lord. And then they have some disposable income of a certain amount. But this is not an easy thing, so it's a big challenge. Brian Cochran encouraging us this afternoon to reduce our debt and get rid of it altogether. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More coming up.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secure, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you for blessing the children.
Here's our expert, Rob West, with today's MoneyWise Minute.
As we head into this final weekend of 2019, here's something to be thinking about. How will you change your financial behavior in the new year? Will you save more? Will you spend less? Will you try to be more generous? I'm not talking about thinking in vague generalities. I want you to think specifically. If you want to save more, how much more? Put a number to it. Say $200 a month. Then think about how you're going to accomplish that. My point is that thinking vaguely won't work. We have to think specifically and take specific actions. One more thing. Tell someone else what your plans are and ask that person to hold you accountable. A specific goal, a specific plan, and then accountability. That's how you change your financial behavior.
Hey, need some help getting started with this? Well, connect with a MoneyWise coach at our website, which is moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about debt this afternoon with Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates. Brian, there are some good things happening, a lot less foreclosures. Credit scores seem to be going up a little bit. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. There's always something to be negative about, and we're in a political cycle right now, so someone's always going to be complaining. But we are certainly in a very unique economic environment right now where people are doing better. And I think there were some lessons learned during the financial crisis where people did maybe abuse debt. People buying 2-3 houses, people using their houses like an ATM where they were pulling out credit or pulling out equity to buy things that maybe had depreciation or no value. So,
good old cash out refis.
Yep. And you see that happen a little bit again now, but certainly nothing like before. One of the measures of that that the Federal Reserve actually provides is something called the financial obligations ratio. It's basically what's the ratio between all those kind of fixed expenses I have, like my car payment, my house payment, those things divided by my income. And that number is about as low as it's been and since they started recording this. So we're hitting the lows that were found back in the early 80s. So what does that mean? That means that the American household has been deleveraged significantly. So there's certainly not every family's that way, but across the country overall, people are in a much better place. And that's a good thing to see because sometimes you get a good economic boom like we're in now or things are going really well, and it could be fueled purely by debt. And we're just not seeing that. The household debt is very much in control at this point. And because of that, you mentioned foreclosures. So I found the stat amazing. So in 2018, there were 624,000 foreclosures. To me, that sounds like a big number.
That sounds like a lot.
Now, you think of all the millions and millions of homeowners, maybe not so much. But in 2010, that number peaked during the financial crisis at about 2.8 million foreclosures.
Wow.
So we're in a much, much, much better place there. You know, interest rates being low helps with that. You know, home affordability is really good. But overall, people are making their payments, staying in their homes, which is a great thing to see. And you mentioned credit scores. So the average credit score is at all-time highs. It's about 700, 703 is the most recent reading I could find. Here in New Mexico, a little bit lower, about 686, so meaningfully lower. So we still have some work to do here in our state. As you mentioned, we maybe haven't experienced some of that economic boom and that opportunity. But as you know, doing lending in the past, that higher credit score gives people more opportunity to take loans. But what's nice to see is the combination of a good credit score with low obligations, so people are not being irresponsible with that ability to take debt. So all good things.
Well, and what you call a financial obligations ratio, we used to call a debt to income ratio.
Sure.
And of course that took into consideration your car payments and any other consumer debt that you might have had, credit cards and so forth, and combine that with your new proposed mortgage payment.
Sure.
And we wanted that to be under 36%. I would say that that was, in the majority of people, obligating them to at least put $500 more a month than they could actually afford.
Yep.
And I was always trying to get people to try to save money. Now, this is coming from somebody that has not done a great job of saving money. And, you know, I could tell you all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But I always admire people that have done a great job of saving. And, I've made some terrible investments over the years, and I've had some people take advantage of me because I didn't use a qualified person like yourself, made some investments that, were real estate related that didn't work out, like they should have worked out. So tell us a little bit about the services that you guys provide, Brian.
Yep. So one of the things we do is, you talked about the word intentional before. That's what we want to do first, is just get people to actually think about what do they want to accomplish with the money they're making or the money they have, and make sure that their goals are reflected in their financial decision making. So we often talk about, as your income comes in the door, there's a kingdom advisor principle we talk about, of dividing that between live, give, owe, and grow. So live, give, owe, grow. Live is your lifestyle. So that's, you know, it's usually about half of your income goes towards lifestyle at least, which is my food, my travel, my home I live in, my utilities, insurance, all those things fit into lifestyle. We have a lot of choices to make. What kind of food do we eat? What kind of car do we drive? What kind of home do we buy? Those are all big lifestyle choices we make. So that's the live. The give is money you give to other people's needs. So that could be family members, but often charity fits into the give part. So live and give are big. And then the owe is really two pieces. It's your taxes that you're going to owe. Got to pay those on time or else. And then there's your debt, as we're talking about today. And then the last one is grow. So live, give, owe your debt and taxes, and then grow. Grow is the money you set aside for the future. So part of our job as advisors is to figure out, based on what the client hopes to accomplish, what is a good combination or a good allocation between those different options, because every dollar can only go to one place.
Right.
If I spend it on live, I can't set it aside for my grow. And if I have too much debt to pay, I have to put a lot in the O section and I may not be able to give. So there's trade-offs with every dollar. I hear a lot of people come in saying, you know, sometimes I have a couple and the husband says, I really want to save more for retirement and I want to buy a vehicle. So there's a live, buying a vehicle. There's a saving for retirement that would fit in the grow bucket. And then the wife says, well, I think we need to be more generous and I want to pay off our debts. So now you've got conflict, right? Now we have to start to judge trade-offs and prioritize. So that's part of our job. And it sounds fairly elementary, but you know, the average American household income is not the problem. It's allocation of these resources. And the most common problem nowadays is overallocation to live. We're living beyond our means, or overallocation to debt. We've taken on too much debt as a result of living beyond our means. So that's a big part of our job, is just helping people make intentional decisions about where their money's allocated. And then we can maximize using different tools, different types of accounts, different types of investments. We can try to do our best to you know, make each of those pieces work and maximize it to the best of our ability. So what you see is most households, when they come in, some there's many exceptions to this, but most households come in and they're just not quite being that intentional. Maybe they're saving something for retirement, but they're not saving a specific amount so that they can reach a certain goal with a certain dollar amount in mind. And they may be paying some debt, but they're not paying it fast enough to really free up the cash flow they need down the line.
Brian, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you have all those things by the cash register that are designed for what I would call impulse buys,
sure,
right? How can a $60,000 new car be an impulse buy? But it seems like it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I think back, we had a client back in 2009 wanted to accelerate her estate plan, basically by gifting money to two children. And we made the gift on a Friday, six figures to son and daughter, both good people, different personalities with money, though. Got a very angry call, voicemail over the weekend, because the son tried to buy a car on Saturday. So we made the gift on Friday. He could not even wait 48 hours. Well, the money hadn't cleared yet. We just did an electronic transfer, and it was a large balance. Wow. So the money hadn't cleared yet, and he had a check bounce at the car dealership.
Wow.
So you couldn't wait, you know, 2 days for this money to clear. I mean, it was really burning a hole in his pocket. So there is some impulse factors to this. The dollar amount doesn't matter. If you're a billionaire, you could probably impulsively buy a $10 million house. You know, it's really just goes back to that idea of slowing yourself down enough. That's why I love when you have a couple that we're working with. We work with single people and couples, but one of the benefits of working with a couple or anybody who has an accountability partner is that they tend to communicate at least to some level. And if they're not communicating, that's part of my job is to get them talking about these decisions. Mm-hmm. And just that act of communication slows you down enough to talk out, why am I doing this? Is it really the best thing? What can I not do? What's the trade-off? And that's one of the great things. My wife and I try to do that with our big financial decisions. And the most successful couples we see when they walk in the door, if they're doing things right, there's almost always a strong foundation of good communication where they're slowing down, making decisions together and talking it out and then coming together with one solid opinion as to how they should proceed.
We're going to be back with Brian to talk more about the principles for taking on new debt. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Brian Cochran coming right up.
In this hotspot, Skip Heitzig shares an impactful lesson from Israeli history.
The best breeze is on the top of the hill. That's why threshing floors were always on top of a hill.
Top of a hill.
Wine presses were on the bottom. He's not on the top. He's down below at the bottom.
Because he's scared. Fear had a hold of Gideon until God stepped in.
So it's funny when the angel of the Lord says, "Hey, mighty man of valor." He's probably looking around like, is there somebody else up here? Or down here?
Access Skip's full teaching library at connectwithskip.com.
Now, why does the angel of the Lord call this coward a mighty man of valor? Here's why I believe. God doesn't see you just as you are. He sees what you will become.
Become
by his strength.
Follow the Connect with Skip Heitzig podcast on Spotify.
Now, he should be at the top of the hill, but fear always brings you down.
Always brings you down.
So he is not a mighty man of valor, but the Lord calls him that through his angel, because that's what the Lord wants to do with him.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
I'm working on a novel. It is a story of my life and my sister's.
Make it short and spicy.
The latest movie version of Little Women takes a new tack on its classic source material, zipping back and forth in time through the story of the March sisters. This is a wonderfully crafted and very well-acted rendition of Louisa May Alcott's classic story. It talks of working through the losses, the loves, and the struggles of life. And the story promotes self-sacrifice, generosity, kindness, and forgiveness. The only drawbacks are a single misuse of God's name, some drunkenness, and the very emotional loss of a central character. So we'll give Little Women a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
God's Word is His love letter to you. Each page reveals His character and wisdom so you can grow closer to Him and live out His plans for your life. We want to help you do that by sending you Skip Heitzig's overview of the Bible from 30,000 feet. You'll learn the major themes, principles, people, and events from every book of the Bible as you spend 1 year flying over Genesis through Revelation. The Bible from 30,000 feet is a practical way to increase your knowledge of God's Word. And along the way, you'll discover how God calls to you from throughout the overarching story of Scripture and how you can apply His truth to your life every day. We'll send you your copy of this engaging resource when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to help keep these teachings on the air, connecting you and others to God's Word. So call now to give 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates in studio with us this afternoon and talking about money. Brian has appeared on our program about every month for the last couple, 3 months. Brian, I'm really looking forward to 2020. Prosperous year for everybody, but in order for people to start thinking about what they just did over Christmas with credit cards and things, they need to get intentional. They need to come up with a plan. Now, Brian, you're not in the business necessarily of helping everybody set up a plan, but there are a lot of people that just need to take some biblical consideration about debt and try to say, okay, if I've got $5,000, $10,000 worth of debt, here's a plan to get that kind of paid off. I know there's some pastoral helps. We've had a lot of folks from Calvary Albuquerque, people from Legacy Church, people from Citizens Church, Hoffmantown, come on the program and talk about just as pastors, just giving spiritual guidance. These are things you need to consider doing. And I know that there are people right now starting off in their careers where they need to come up with an even more important plan. They need to have regular giving. They need to have regular saving. One of the things that they talk about on the Money Wise program. Gosh, I don't know how that flew out of my head. I've got John Moore and Associates. So it's Steve Moore and Rob West on that program. Yep. And these guys are really, really brilliant guys. And what I like about them is they know about all kinds of instruments. You know, they know about, gee, should I go buy a mutual fund and use that as a long-term savings plan? Should I set up a health savings account? I was just listening to the program here a couple days ago about health savings plans. And we're going to get into some of those details, I think, next year. We'll talk more specifics. But right now, we're just talking about debt and what you might have incurred just over this Christmas season. So how aggressive should you be about paying back, say, $1,000 or $2,000? If you can afford it, throw a couple hundred a month at it if you can and just get it off your plate.
Yep, that's always be aggressive with those consumer debts because there's no collateral against them. They're high interest in most cases, and it's such a burden to accomplishing anything else financially if you have those debts hanging over your head. But I think the best thing you can do is just be thoughtful on the front end and try to avoid these debts going forward. You know, it's not that there's no hope for someone who has a lot of debt, but the best cure is just not get yourself in that situation again. And the first principle we talk about there is using kind of common sense about, is this an economical debt? You asked about student loans before. Mm-hmm. We had one client a few years back that she was taking $50,000 a year in tuition payments for her daughter to get an art degree at a fancy college in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what's she going to do with that degree? It doesn't make economic sense in most cases to get an art degree for $200,000 of undergrad tuition. So pausing before you get a new debt, saying, does this make economic sense? If you need a small loan to buy a car because that's how you're going to get to work, that can make economic sense. If you're working on getting a medical degree and you have to get some of that medical school on loan, but you are very confident you'll be employable at the end of your graduation and you're going to have a high six-figure income, that can make economic sense. So checking that box, you know, it's hard to make economic sense of putting a fancy meal at the local steakhouse on your credit card that's going to take you 3 months to pay off.
Here's a scenario that I know about. I know about a young man that incurred about $100,000 worth of debt to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. And his income when he became a doctor was $150,000. I know because I financed a house for him about 2 weeks after he graduated. So $150,000 in income. Well, within 2 or 3 years, he's making $400,000. But he was still just making the minimum payments on that student loan.
Yep.
Seems like before you graduate to a different house or you buy another fancy car, you got to throw some big chunks at that student loan and get it taken care of.
And in the medical world, they say keep living like a resident. That's what I've heard it called. Don't change your lifestyle until that debt is under control. And then you'll have a lot of options because you won't have even that minimum payment. That'll be gone once that debt's paid. So that goes back. You need to have an economic. That leads into the second principle, which is make sure you have a guaranteed way to repay that debt. Mm-hmm. So if you're counting on something that's risky, so for example, some people like to take loans against their investments. That's something we can do. We don't do it very often, but some advisors promote that very aggressively. And is there a guaranteed way to pay that debt? Well, if you have income, great. But if you're counting on the value of that asset, there's no guarantee of what that stock price or what the mutual fund value will be in 6 months or a year when you want to repay it by selling that investment to pay off the debt. So you want to have a very, if not guaranteed, a very confident way to pay back that debt. Otherwise, you're putting yourself at a high risk that, maybe you're going to breach that biblical principle of, repaying the debt. The next one is just peace of mind. So if you if it makes economic sense, you feel very confident you'll have the resources to pay that debt, then the next step is say, hey, you know, how do I actually feel about this? If I slow down, again, not making a quick decision when it comes to debt, you know, does this purchase, does this debt I'm taking on breach any of my values or spiritual principle, right? You know, do I just really feel at peace with this decision? What you'll find a lot of times people slow down and ask themselves of that. They'll find out that maybe one person in a couple doesn't really have that much peace of mind. They might just be kind of playing along. Or if you're making this decision on your own, if you really slow down, you say, you know, actually, this is making me a little bit anxious to take on this debt, and maybe I shouldn't take this next step. Trust your gut. So there's three principles. So make sure it makes economic sense. Make sure you can pay it back. Make sure you feel at peace. And then the last piece we've already talked about a bit, which is communication and unity. You know, if you're going to take this debt as a couple, is it something I'm doing behind my spouse's back, or is it something where my spouse is not fully on board and I'm kind of dragging him or her along? That's a big part of this, is making sure that this debt is not going to come between your relationship at some point and come back and create a rift that was just totally unnecessary.
So when you say going behind your spouse's back, if you just use what I would call strategic omission and you say, honey, I'm out looking for a car, so I really have disclosed that, but then I go out and spend a lot more than I should have, that's really kind of like lying.
Yeah. And I've used my own example right now, is I've been thinking about a new vehicle for our family. Mm-hmm. And my wife's so sick of hearing about it because I keep coming back to her. What do you think about this? It costs this much, and this is what it would look like, and this is what I would work, you know, and this is how long it'd take us to either save for it or pay for it, you know, on debt. And I love cars, so it's fun for me to research it, but my wife is kind of sick of talking about it. But I'd rather over communicate than under communicate and end up making a mistake financially.
You know, there's a commercial on TV, and a lot of people have seen it. I think it's kind of cute, where a husband comes home, and he's got this beautiful red Yukon Denali, and then he's got this beautiful
Sierra pickup truck
Denali, and his wife comes out, and he thinks she's going to go right to the red Yukon. She goes right to the pickup truck, and then there's this little cute exchange. Well, I like red.
Yep.
But the funny part is after that commercial's over, I'm thinking, those are both $60,000 to $70,000 vehicles. Easy. There's a $140,000 deal right there, and the payments have got to be $1,800 a month.
Yeah. So this is my wife's, you know, if you want to have some empathy for her living with a financial planner, I'm screaming at the TV when that's happening. That's irresponsible. You know, and that, this time of year kills me for that, because they're promoting this idea. And some people, sure, they can easily fit a luxury vehicle within their budget and pay cash. But I always wonder how many people are buying those big red bows to put on cars, and they're taking 5 years of debt to do it. And that's an example of just, to me, illogical, you know, purchasing and a poor use of debt. So, so that's that commercial. It is a good one. I think it's good advertising.
Yeah.
But to see two brand new, you know, luxury trucks, SUVs out in a driveway, to me, just kills me, because there's a neighbor of mine lives around the corner, and he has a beautiful lifted truck with nice wheels on it. And it's a great looking truck. And he's always got some kind of trailer or a boat behind it. And it's one of the more beautiful homes in the neighborhood. And I walk by, and I don't judge him, and I'm certainly not envious of him, but I always wonder, how much is that guy saving for his retirement? Because I've spent so much time talking about these trade-offs that I'm very confident, unless he's making $1 million a year, that guy is probably not saving what he can, because he's got all these toys and beautiful vehicle, beautiful house, but that's got to come with a trade-off. Is he giving? Is he saving? Is he feeling content with his money? And that's what we want for people.
I think we're really talking about being able to sleep at night, Brian, having that peace of mind that you talked about early.
Yep. God wants that for us.
Hey, thank you so much. Brian Cochran, 881-5100, of course, area code 505. He's with John Moore and Associates. He'll be back next month. We'll see you next week on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.